Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Curtis Coy, Deputy Undersecretary for Economic Opportunity within the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. Kurt, I talk to a lot of my guests about the use of collaboration and partnership among agencies with the private sector to achieve mission results. How are you folks leveraging partnerships to improve operations and programs?
Well, again, I alluded to that earlier. It's one of those things when you ask me what are some of the surprises that I've seen, certainly at the VA, collaboration is critically important, and I've seen a lot of it. So the strengthening and growing use of collaboration and partnerships among these agencies and with the private sector is one of our key priorities. We certainly can't do all of this alone, and nor do we want to. We want to have that collaborative effort that's going on. I'll give you two or three or four examples in just the last several months that might be relevant. For the past number of years, VA and the Department of Labor have made a deliberate effort to collaborate and work closely together. The VRAP program is certainly an example. Every quarter, the Secretary Shinseki at VA and Secretary Perez at Labor get together and discuss common themes and threads across those two agencies. And so both of them are working together. Early on in the administration, Secretary Shinseki would meet quarterly with the Department of Defense Secretary. He now does that as well with the Labor Secretary. Critically important piece. We work with the Department of Education and Department of Defense. I talked about the work we did on the comparison tool, the work we've done with the feedback system, 8 keys, the executive order. We're also working on an interagency academic credentialing work group that's dedicated to identifying and sharing strategies for institutions of higher learning to award or evaluate military training and experience. So you get credit as you go into these colleges and universities, so you have some of those college credits in your back pocket and that you've earned while you were in the military. We're working with, for example, the National Student Clearinghouse and the Student Veterans of America, but we're analyzing post-secondary education completion data for 1 million veterans, both Montgomery GI Bill and post-9/11 beneficiaries. And so what this project will do is help us measure the outcome of some of those benefits. And so we've collected and analyzed, and we're in the process of putting together a report for the results of these 1 million beneficiaries. Chamber of Commerce. We have a memorandum of understanding with the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce does a program of job fairs called Hire Our Heroes. We participate in many of those Hire Our Heroes. The Chamber has done over 600 of them in the last couple years. And so they've helped well over 10,000 veterans do that, you know, in terms of finding, again, meaningful employment. Mm-hmm. Partnership with the Chamber of Commerce, we just released a veteran hiring guide for employers. Employers then can take a look at many of these programs that they won't remember I just talked about, and it's right there. And it's right there on the web. They can download it. It's there. And it's an effort to be incredibly transparent. And I think, finally, we work very, very closely with our veteran service organizations, whether they're the American Legion or Veterans of Foreign Wars, DAV. We generally at VA want to make sure that we're checking in with our VSOs and make sure that we're going down the path that is consistent with those VSO membership goals that they have. So the collaborative effort has been incredible in the last number of years.
Kurt, given you are a champion of veterans' concerns about careers and financial stability, what is the outlook for veteran employment over the next few years, and how does it continue? How does the continued drawdown of troops factor into your outlook?
As of last year, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there were about 20 million veterans that lived in the United States. Veterans unemployment for the month of December was 5.5%, but that's the lowest since it's been in 2008. Having said that, and those results are encouraging, veterans still face many, many, many employment challenges. including cultural challenges of transitioning from a Department of Defense into a full-time civilian environment. Hopefully, our transition assistance program is helping with that. Translating military experience to civilian employers. Tough sometimes. Increasing competition as the number of veterans seeking civilian employment is out there. So the economy certainly contributes to this, but we have veterans who have spent years serving their country. All the while, their contemporaries, as you might imagine, have been gaining experience and networking within their own communities. And now they're joining that community. Sometimes they join that when they're behind the curve a bit. And so the current economic climate certainly plays a huge role in any veteran unemployment discussion. So what can we do? We can ensure that veterans have a better outlook by giving them the tools that they need to get the best educational and training experiences. I often tell people that specifically those post-9/11 veterans who are eligible for the post-9/11 GI Bill are probably the cohort in this country best suited to succeed. And the reason is you have this pool of jobs that are out there, and you have this pool of veterans or unemployed citizens writ large. And oftentimes the difference between those two pools is either experience or a skill set. We can't buy experience, nor can anybody else. But veterans have access to the training tools to get the skill set that they need to get that job that's over there in that job supply pool. And so as we look at this, it's critically important that we stand back and take a look at how we can best leverage those tools that veterans have. A quick example, a senator that's on one of our veterans committees, if you will, had a town hall. And somebody raised their hand and said, I'm a veteran. I would like to be a truck driver, but the school costs $4,000. I don't have $4,000. We saw that. We looked up that veteran. That veteran had educational benefits. We told that veteran, we can cover that $4,000 in training to go to that school. And so there's no cohort in this country that has those kinds of benefits available to them. I think finally, we've talked at length about the Transition Assistance Program, but most certainly providing veterans with all of that information to make sure that they're informed consumers is critically important. I have in my office, and every year the VA puts out a book of veteran benefits. It's probably about the size of the owner's manual of a car. And I tell people that's the owner's manual for a veteran. And like most folks, they don't look at the owner's manual unless a red light comes on. And veterans are kind of similar. They don't look at their benefits until the light comes on. We want to make sure that those veterans have the ability to know what their benefits are so they can leverage them in their life planning goals.
So as I transition to the future, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will face in the future? And how do you envision your department, your organization evolving to meet these challenges and seize some of the opportunities?
Well, a great question, and it's one that we think about all the time. About every year or so, about 280,000 service members leave the Department of Defense and join the ranks of veterans. With the drawdown that's coming, we project that that number is probably going to go higher, 300,000, 310,000. You pick whatever number you want, but probably more than the normal attrition rate of about 280,000 veterans who leave the service retiring, enlistments up, so on and so forth. And so making sure that those veterans have access to their benefits is critically important. We do that through the IDES program, or the program where we put not only VRE counselors but other VA counselors on Department of Defense installations before they get out of the service, So they're familiar with that. The transition assistance program, making sure that they're fully learned in their benefits that they've so richly deserved and earned. I think the other challenge is that after 10 years of war, we have many, many of those veterans coming out with some sort of disability. And so when you come out with some sort of disability, it starts affecting other programs. For example, it affects the compensation program, making sure that those veterans receive the compensation they so richly deserve and have earned while they were in the service. But as well, if you stand back and look at all of the other ancillary pieces to that, for example, if a veteran's on disability compensation, you process that. But that veteran also now qualifies for vocational rehabilitation and employment counseling. Mm-hmm. And so there's that influx of veterans coming into the workforce. With more veterans coming into the workforce, with more veterans being learned into what their benefits are, there's going to be more veterans probably going to school on the post 9/11 GI Bill. That means that we need to be ready to process all of those applications and all of those claims that go along with it. So it's an incredibly busy time, not only keeping up with the workload that we have, but projecting forward that workload that is coming. So, for example, I mentioned post 9/11 GI Bill. We just celebrated this past fall the 1 millionth beneficiary of the post 9/11 GI Bill. That's in 4 years. And it's growing every single year. So we talk about vocational rehabilitation. We talk about VA home loan programs. We're seeing more and more loan originations. And so that's a bigger workload. So dealing with all of these things, we want to make sure that we have all of these things on our radar. Principles of Excellence, another new program that's out there. 8 Keys, another one. Making sure that we're ready to ensure that those veterans are informed consumers as they go forward.
So, Kurt, this is the second time I've had you on, and I think I may have asked you this question before, but I'd like to get your insights now. What advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
Well, it's a great question, Michael, and people often ask me this. They say, look, you know, after 24 years in the Navy, and now... then 24 years in the Navy, then I spent about 7 years in the private sector, and then I spent, before I got to VA, about 12 years in the Department of Health and Human Services, and now a little over 3 years, I believe, now at VA. And what I tell people is that there's no greater calling than public service to your country. And so service to your country can be in many, many different ways. It can be serving in the military, or it can be serving the citizens of this country, and in particular now, serving those veterans that have ensured that our freedom has been protected, and giving back to those veterans to make sure that they get the very, very best that are out there. So a career in public service is an incredible, to me, noble calling. It's one that I take a great deal of pride in, and I would suggest that anyone who's thinking about working in government, you stand back and think about why you're doing it. And if you have that sense of purpose, the work part just happens. But I often tell people, fun at work is not standing around a water cooler telling jokes and so on. To me, fun at work is having a sense of purpose on who you're serving, whether it be the American citizen or, in this case, the American veteran that's out there. But fun at work is in the morning you're getting ready for work and you're thinking of all the things that you got to get done today. And fun at work to me is going home, and on your way home, you're thinking of all the things that you didn't get done today that you got to get done tomorrow. If you have that sense of excitement, and if you inculcate that sense of purpose and excitement to folks working for you, then you've got the perfect public service job.
Wonderful way to describe it. So, Kurt, I want to thank you for your time today. But more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you very much, Michael.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Curtis Coy, Deputy Undersecretary for Economic Opportunity within the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.